You know, some information tends to carry huge implications when you think about it. Some news could change our lives forever. You know, you visit a doctor because you have some problems, and then you're waiting for the results. And you know how impatient or how anxious you might become because you don't know what the doctor's going to tell you. And then he or she comes and says, you know, I have bad news. And you know, that news can change your whole life. Everything can just come tumbling down at that very moment. I mean, some news can really, I mean, think about all those people in Kentucky. They went to bed and many of them did not even wake up. And you wake up just to see that, I mean, there's nothing of your house. I mean, because it's gone. You know, a sudden death of a loved one, a car accident. I mean, things are inevitable. You and I, we're not prepared for that, but they happen. And, you know, things like that can just change your life in a heartbeat. 2020, we don't even want to think about 2020 because of what happened in 2020. You know, we had plans to go on vacation. We had plans to do this, and everything had to be put on hold. Everything was postponed or even canceled due to the coronavirus. You know, very shocking news to the world. I mean, how do you respond to news like that? Devastating news that you're not prepared to receive. See, we're entering into the season of Christmas celebration, and you look around, you go to the stores, and everybody's, you know, singing the songs of Christmas because, you know, you enter into that spirit. But think about the story of Christmas, because there was a young woman, a young girl, preparing for a wedding. She had all the hopes and expectations. She's in love with this wonderful man, and, you know, they already had a wedding preparation. The families, I mean, everybody's in agreement. You know the excitement of somebody preparing a wedding. Many of you already have gone through that. But imagine then somebody would come out of nowhere and would tell that girl, that woman, sorry, you might have to postpone your wedding. You might have to put your plans on hold. I mean, how would you react to something like that? I mean, obviously disturbing news. I mean, who are you to tell me that I need to postpone my wedding? You see, it was not what she had in mind. This news has some drastic, some severe effect. Like I said, can you just imagine? How would you react if you were the ones planning that wedding and then somebody that you don't even know appears and say you had to put that on hold? You see, this young girl was Mary. You know, God sent his angel Gabriel to deliver this devastating news. I say devastating news for her because really that's not what she wanted to do. Now, obviously, you know, we all been there. You know how many times you want to do something and then God would change your plans. I don't know about you, but that has happened to me. I always tell you, I never wanted to be a preacher. And look what I'm doing today. You know, sometimes you say, God, no, I want to go this direction. And God would do something to change. I mean, she already had planned everything, and then now an angel appeared to her to tell her to wait or something else would happen. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 through 38. And he says, reading from the ESV, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now, in our text, when he says the sixth month, he's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Elizabeth is the mother, was the mom of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was older than Jesus. John the Baptist is the man, the first preacher that you see in the wilderness preaching. And the sermon of John the Baptist was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Messiah. So it says in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, John the Baptist's mom's pregnancy, God sent Gabriel, one of his angels, to Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. So the angel appears. Now, it's interesting because you see this idea of angels appearing, you know, announcing the birth of the Savior. And a lot of angel activity, even during Jesus' ministry. And at the end, you see a lot of angels blowing trumpets, even in the book of Revelation. The word angel means messenger. And, you know, in America, we have this assumption of angels. They all blue eyes and blonde hair. Angels are just, can be like us, human beings. You know, that's what the Bible says. Do not neglect to entertain people, because people have entertained angels without knowing it. Angels, they don't necessarily have to have wings. Like, you know, we have this picture that, you know, angels have wings. And there's some angels in the Bible that if you looked at them, you thought you were having a nightmare. If you're familiar with the cherubims and seraphim, six wings, the whole body covered with eyes. I mean, that's like, and they're over there in the presence of God, giving glory to him. So this angel, Gabriel, comes to say, greetings, you favored one. Interesting, Mary was perplexed. She was troubled by that greeting. Another thing, too, that we read in the Bible, every time an angel appeared to somebody, that person panicked. And the angel had to say, do not be afraid. You wonder why. You know, because when an angel appears, knowing that they were messenger, what did they have with them? A message. You did not know if it was good or bad. You had to wait until he would say, I bring you good news. Whew, okay. Because sometimes they appear to say, like, you're about to die. And then, ooh. So don't be afraid. I bring you good news. But this angel said to her, greetings. He said, oh, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what kind of greeting that was. Favored one. And then later on, Gabriel explained what it means. He said, Mary, you have found favor with God. The word favor is the same word for grace. It's almost like you have found grace with God. God looks to you with favor. He looks to you with grace. And then he goes on to tell the news. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Now imagine all the information this angel is giving this young woman. You know, that's not on her agenda, all this thing that he was talking about to her. You have found favor with God, Mary. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that, after that shocking news, I don't think that Mary felt, I don't think she felt very favored by God. When you look at the implications of this news that the angel is delivering to her, I mean, you said I'm favored by God and now I'm going to be pregnant and I'm not even married. I mean, how does that compute? I don't think Mary certainly did not feel favored by God after that news. You're going to be with a child. You're to give him the name Jesus. Sorry, you had another name for your kids, but this is what you do. I mean, and she replies, like, okay, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Interesting enough, you know, in that society, I mean, we before we Americanize the Bible, we had to read it in the context in which it was written. When somebody was a virgin, that's what he meant. That person did not have a relation with a man. And so, and you know, people did not date back in those days. So it was like the families would arrange the weddings. And then on the day of the wedding, that's when they would do that. And the wedding would last for seven days, a whole week preparation. So the engagement was already formalized, and they had not come together intimately. And so now the angel said, you're going to be with a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, he will be holy, the Son of God. His reign will never end. But yeah, you are favored by God. Think about the implications. Like, how is she going to tell Joseph? Because the angel only came to her right here. Joseph is not here. Maybe he's working somewhere. And now you have to deal with this thing. So how will this be? I mean, that's a legitimate question. How, I'm a virgin. I mean, and you say I'm gonna be with a son. Here's a prophecy of the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus. He predicted that a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and that they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And here's the fulfillment of that prophecy, because the virgin's name is Mary. What Isaiah has said, that she will conceive. You know, virgins don't conceive. You're a virgin. So we conceive and give birth to a son, and they are to give him the name Yeshua, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, Mary is perplexed. Yes, the greeting was weird, but now you're telling me that I'm going to do this? How? And then the angel goes on, because, you know, he came and the angel Gabriel very much said to her, leave the impossible to God. Leave the details to God. Even though you don't know how things will unfold, leave it up to the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 34 through 37. 35 says, 34. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will envelop you or overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. Gabriel said, Mary, leave the details to God. You know how many times we go through our lives and we already plan and we see how we're going to do those things. And sometimes, I don't know where we had to change our plans, and so we're like clueless. How is that plan? How is my agenda going to unfold? Mary's already stressed out. Like, how is that going to be? Leave the details to God. He said, the Holy Spirit will come, envelop you, overshadow you, and you're going to have this son. And he's going to be known as the Son of God. Messianic title right there. And even Elizabeth. So even though you don't understand right now, Mary, one thing I want you to understand, that even though you think it's impossible with God, there's nothing impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Elizabeth was barren. She couldn't have kids. And in that culture, you were barren. People saw it, that you were punished by God because you couldn't have kids. And now she's also going to be blessed in her old age, because nothing is impossible with God. With God. For science, for us, it's like, there's no way you can do that. And God says, watch me. Yes. And a virgin, without the intervention of a man, she's going to be pregnant. Scientifically speaking, that's impossible. But that's what a miracle is. I don't know if you know, miracle is breaking the laws of science. We don't walk on water. We were not given that capability. Jesus walking on water and allowing Peter to do that, you break the laws of nature. Here's another one. That's why you know it's a miracle, the conception of Jesus. And he goes back to Genesis 3. I mean, everything, it's almost like the Bible, you read it, and it's almost like the puzzle. You're playing a puzzle, and all the pieces are coming together right here. In Genesis 3, the Lord said that the seed of a woman, he says, through the descendants of a woman, will be the demise of Satan. So somebody's going to be born of a woman, again, without the intervention of a man. The seed of a woman, that's like the descendants of a woman. You know, in the Bible, you always see the descendants traced down from the man. Oh, so the son of Abraham, and Isaac, and Jacob, and so now it says through a woman. And here is Isaiah said, a virgin, and here is Mary already. It's like, how is that going to be possible? Leave the details to God. Well, yes, you're gonna be a mom. You're gonna have a son, and his name will be Jesus, which means what? Savior. Yahweh saves. For nothing is impossible with God. You see, when you think about that story, it is true what the song says. A baby changes everything, doesn't it? Some of you who are parents, you know when you had the first kid and the sleepless nights you had. You know, and all the priorities now is to that child because, you know, it's like everything is based on that, he or she, that particular child, because they change everything. You see, the effect of that news can be drastic to Mary. You see, it could have impacted Mary in really negative ways. You know, first of all, think about you engaged to Joseph. How is Joseph going to react to this news? Yeah, she's pregnant and you're not the father, Joseph. You know, maybe they would bring him to the Maury show. Joseph, you're not the father. It's like, what? I mean, you know, the relationship between her and Joseph could have just he could have just broken up the engagement right now. And you know, when we go back to the book of Matthew, that's exactly what Joseph wanted to do, because Joseph did not believe that story. Joseph did not believe Mary. Mary said, well, Joseph, you know, I got news for you. Maybe he came from work. He said, you know, I got a visitor. An angel came from God. His name was Gabriel, by the way. You know, he told me that I'm gonna have a son. And so you had nothing to do with this, Joseph. But, you know, I'm going to have a son. And supposedly we're to give him the name Jesus. And, you know, and then he told me he's going to be great. And, you know, like Jesus means Savior. And then he's going to be a king. And, you know, that's what the angel told me. Joseph's like, seriously, what are you drinking, Mary? Maybe he told. And he did not believe the story because the Bible said he wanted to divorce Mary secretly. Joseph had two choices here. You know, this news, Mary with a pregnancy in that culture, when you're not even married, could have cost Mary her life. Because when the news will go out, do you know, oh, do you hear? You can hear the gossip in the neighborhood. She cheated on Joseph. She's pregnant now. Joseph is not even the father. What did the law say? She will be stoned to death. That's what I'm saying. Are you sure you're favored by God? I mean, this is what it means in my culture. It's like you said, I'm highly favored, but Joseph now might not even love me. You know, he could have divorced her. He could have just made a huge deal of that, embarrassed her in front of the society. Oh, and by the way, how about Mary's mom and dad? If that news would get out, and it did eventually, I mean, belly will start growing, you're pregnant. It's like, they could disown Mary. It's like, you're not even, you embarrass the family. You're not our daughter anymore. I mean, that culture was, I said, some of the things that would be punished by death. A pregnancy without marriage, that was one of those. And like I said, Joseph did not believe the story, and he was about to leave her. So he said, you know, the Bible said, because he was a righteous man, he said, you know what? I don't get it. I don't believe that. I'm just going to leave her. In Matthew, tells the story, Joseph was about to leave, and Gabriel had to come back and appear to Joseph. He said, Joseph, in a dream, it's like, do not forsake Mary as your wife. You know, take her, because the son that is about to be born, he will be the savior of the world. The angel had to come to convince Joseph because he was about to go. And from that moment on, you know, but Joseph and Mary did not become intimate until Jesus was born. That's what the Bible also said, that Jesus was the firstborn of Mary. Firstborn. Because later on she had all the kids. Even though some religious people say, oh no, she didn't have anybody. I have the names of those brothers and sisters of Jesus, you know, that she had with Joseph. But Jesus was the firstborn, and Joseph had nothing to do. Joseph became the father figure. You know, and Joseph taught Jesus carpentry later on, because that was his trade. You see, what did a pregnancy mean in that culture? She will be considered an adulterer. And then you're an adulterer, that means that you will be punished by death, by stoning. Shame and ridicule in the society. Damage your family reputation. You know how it was in the family. You got to keep the family name, family reputation now. Like everyone In Nazareth, we'll know what happened. And imagine the people, the parents of Mary, be so embarrassed. Death, that pregnancy could cost Mary her life. Like I said, Joseph had the right to legally kill her if he wanted to. Now, somebody's like, is the Bible saying that? No, the Bible doesn't say that that's right to do. I'm telling you, that's how it was in that society. You know, that 2,000 years ago, you know, if you marry somebody, usually the family can do with a wife, with a bride, whatever they wanted to. Even the Romans acted like that. The Romans called something called the paterfamilia, that if the father of the bride wanted to sell her into slavery, the husband had nothing to do. But that was the culture. And so that pregnancy without marriage could mean that to Mary. And that's what I say, a baby does change everything. And you see, this baby, it's not just any baby. I mean, you see the resume, you see the description of what this baby is going to do. His name will be Jesus, verse 31, which means Savior. He will be great and will be called the Son of God. You know, maybe when Jesus was walking around, one of the titles people said, the Son of God, the Son of David. He will reign on David's throne in Jerusalem. And he will bring, you see, this baby will bring geographical changes. And he will also bring global changes because he said his kingdom will never end. Now, you have to think about that. That was written 2,000 years ago. And Jesus is not reigning right now. Which begs the question, when will this happen? This is just a preview. Like, you know, before we go to a movie, I would say, coming soon, coming soon. It's been 2,000 years since that, you know, Jesus was a baby, became a man, died, went back to heaven. But he said he will reign on the house of Jacob. Is he reigning today? Where was the house of Jacob? In Jerusalem. Is it reigning? No. When will this be? I don't know. But we know that one day he will reign as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, and of his reign, says, it will never end. Once that kingdom is established, it will be forever and ever. That's what you read in Revelation. Chapter 19, it says, his name is Faithful and true. And his name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that baby will be a king one day. You see, God chose this young woman to be the channel by which the Son of God will come into the world. Like I say, imagine what might have gone through Mary's mind. I had a privilege, but at the same time, it's like, really? Because that has some severe implications. I mean, you might have to talk to Joseph, and what would my family think about? And there were so many things that Mary could have said, you know what? Thank you very much, God. I appreciate it, but give that job to somebody else. Which is the case of Moses. One time God came to Moses with, hey, this is what I want you to do. Moses said, finally, the only man in the Bible that told God plainly, he's like, send somebody else. I don't really want to do this. Mary could have told the angel that. You will be the mother of the Savior of the world. You see, saying yes to God, my friends, may carry severe consequences. Agreeing to God may disrupt our comfort zone, may disrupt our lives. You see, Mary's attitude, when you said, she said, look what she said to the angel after all that. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary placed herself at the Lord's disposal. She placed herself, she took on God's agenda and lay aside her own. I am the Lord's servant. Do to me whatever you want to do, regardless of what that news might mean for her and the whole family. She said, Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do, even though I might not understand completely how everything is going to unfold. I am your servant. Mary surrendered her agenda to God. She chose to trust God even when she did not understand completely the whole thing. I mean, yeah. You know why I know she didn't understand what the angel told her? He will be great. Watch. Later on in the story, when the shepherds come, and the shepherds also have a news, it says, there's a phrase in the Bible. It says, and Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Like all the things that people are talking about this child. She was treasuring, like thinking about. Now, she knew a lot. She knew more than most people because you already got the news firsthand. He will be great. will be known as the Son of God, and he will be a king. Imagine as a mother, like, I'm going to birth the king of the universe. Like, wow. You know, but agreeing to that means your family might not like you. Saying yes to God means that Joseph might leave you. See, she chose to trust God even when she did not understand. And I think Mary can be an example for many of us. How many times God is asking us to do certain things, and we are really uncomfortable doing them. And so even when you're uncomfortable, when God is saying you got to get out of your comfort zone, it's like, Lord, I don't quite get it. I don't understand it. But, you know, because you're asking me to, I'm going to trust you. That was Peter's idea. That was Peter's trust. When Lord, if it's you, tell me to go to you on water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter trusts Jesus enough to step out of the boat. It's like, you know, I know we don't walk on water, but the Lord is calling me, and he has better plans for me. He knows what he's doing, even though I'm clueless. Let me just keep my eyes on you. Let me just trust you with that. That's what Mary did. She agreed to God. She agreed to the Lord's will. And you see, sometimes agreeing to God means that you have to go against the culture. Agreeing to God means you might have to go against your own family sometimes. Saying yes to God's agenda sometimes means saying no to society, saying no to your own family, saying no to your husband and wife sometimes, depending on what it is that the Lord is asking you to do. I mean, this is the implication when Mary said, I go with you, Lord. The whole Joseph scenario, you talk to him. And that's what the Lord did. Talk to him, and Joseph finally said, hey, I'm also going to submit to the agenda of the Lord. And he did. Sometimes saying yes to God means saying no to your own plan. I had to do that. I had to do that in my own, you know, because I didn't want to be a preacher. And I did everything in my power to go to school to be a civil engineer. Somebody answer that with it. To be an engineer. And that's what I wanted to do. You know, and later on, during my time in school, I would get discouraged. I got discouraged, and I didn't know really what I wanted to do in life. But I did everything. Like, no, I want to go. Maybe I want to become an architect. And I did everything. I spent money because that's what I wanted to do. But preacher was not on my radar. That's what my dad's a preacher, so like, but not me. And you know, God had to then do a change of heart for me. Just like, well, yeah, I you're going to be a preacher. It's like, are you sure? It means I needed to surrender. One time I came to my life, I did not even know what I wanted to be. I changed major. I said, well, I don't even know what I want to be now in life. And then there was the opportunity for me to go to a Bible school. I had no idea what a Bible college was. And then it's like somebody. And then look at what God did. He paid for my education. Like people that I did not even know. It's like it's almost like he prepared the way for me. Like, no, you're going to Bible school. And it's like, but what do I study there? Bible? What else? Like, you know, I did not even know what major to choose. I go to a missionary and say, I have the list of major. Like, which one? And then he said to me, preaching. There I go. Go to a Bible school to be a preacher. You know, many of my friends during my time in school, they changed major, but I was fascinated. I was so in love with what I was learning because I realized what I get to know, I want to pass that knowledge to other people so that they too get to know the Savior. But you see, God changed my plans. You know, from what, you know, at one time I wanted to even be a lawyer, you know, and I took like a semester and then I failed. And it's like, I guess that's not what the Lord wants me to do. And then, you know, it's like, and God's like, no, I already got what you need to do. I mean, can you imagine paying for all? I came out of school owing zero. I didn't have to take student loans because God used other people to pay for me so that I can go to school and get the education and prepare. So like today I'd be here telling you a little bit of my testimony, how he recalibrated my plans. And I am here today preaching the word of God. And I think I'd be preaching until I die. I'm not changing, you know, because, and I was like, I want to continue preaching Jesus so that the whole world get to know the Savior. This one that, you know, came to rescue you and me. So sometimes saying yes to God means you got to leave your family, move to a different country, place, and go and study and prepare yourself. Saying yes to God means sometimes saying no to your comfortability, to your comfort, to things you want to do. And it's like, and it's like, well, Lord, I don't know how this is going to unfold. I don't really like it too much. Help me like it. And he might, you know what I mean? He might answer that prayer. But if he calls you to do something, you and I, our job is to trust him, that
He knows best. And that's what Mary did with his, I am the Lord's servant. Wow. The word servant, you know what it really means? It says, she said, I am the Lord's slave. Do to me whatever you have. Whatever. I mean, even though I don't understand, even though I haven't talked to Joseph yet, Lord, whatever you want to do, I do. She submitted herself to the will of God. She went against her own feelings. Because saying yes to Jesus means going against your own family, your own traditions, sometimes even your own feelings. Mary knew the implications already of saying, of agreeing to God. She knew the implications. The implication, Joseph could leave you. The family might disown you. You might not get an inheritance because what you've done. But she trusted God nonetheless. You see, the angel said to her, you are highly favored. Greetings, favored one. Think about you and I today. You too are favored by God. The angel will come to you and say, you're favored by God. God looks to you with grace. How? You know why you and I are favored by God? Because God gave us the Savior. God looked to you. He saw your need and he sent you 2,000 years ago, the Savior, by whom you and I can be reconciled to God, by whom and through whom you and I can be saved. So we truly are blessed by God. We are favored by him because he gave us grace. Jesus is called God's grace display, disclosed to us. He looks at you with grace and says, here's my gift to you. You know, during the time people get gifts, you exchange gifts to other people. Like, here's my present for you, which will change your whole life. So we are truly blessed. We are truly favored by God. Jesus came to change your condition, to change our status. Before Jesus, before you and I give our lives to Christ, the Bible says that we're sinful individuals. Therefore, we're enemies of God because of our sinful nature. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no way that you and I, in our own goodness and in our own effort, can even come close to God. But God prepared a way for us to enter into his presence with confidence. You are favored by God through Jesus Christ, his own son. Because he came to change your destination, to change your status from enemies now to sons and daughters of God. John 1 says, he came to his own people. 1:11, he came to his own people, but his own people did not receive him. Yet, to those who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave him the right to be made sons of God, children of God. That's what you and I are now. I mean, have you ever thought about the implications of that? When somebody used to say, who's your daddy? Your daddy is the creator of the universe. You are a child of God. That means that you are so special. You are so privileged. Your father created the universe and he created you and he's sustaining you. He's holding you. Even when at times you might not feel that he's holding you. He's like, I got you right here. The whole song, he's got the whole world in his hands. Paul says that in Colossians 1. He says, and in him all things hold together. You and I, he's holding us together. So we are favored by God in Jesus Christ. He also came to change our destination. The enemies of God are destined to go to hell. Jesus came like a GPS recalibrating, recalculating you. So now the destination will be to heaven with him. All because he came. He changed all that. No, but apart from God, we're all destined to suffer in his wrath. And you know, the really nasty part of Revelation, all the wrath of God poured out on mankind. That's what we deserve because we're a sinful individual. But Jesus came to say, no, they don't have to deal with that. I'm going to take their place. I'm going to pay so that they will be holy. They owe God too much. And there's no way that you can pay it. Jesus said, hey, I write a check. They're paid. That's what the Bible said. He took our place. He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Paul says it like this. Jesus, being rich, became poor so that we, through his poverty, might become rich. He changed all that. I mean, when you think about Jesus, even people that do not want to believe in Jesus, he changed even our calendar. Because you read a book that has nothing to do with a Bible. You have before Christ and after Christ. Even there, he changed that. He's affecting our world, and he's continuing changing lives, because that's who he is, the Savior. You hear stories of people that used to persecute church, murders, becoming preachers, because in Jesus and God's agenda, you and I are favored by him. He looks to you and I with grace. Grace has been displayed. Grace has been shown to us in Jesus Christ. I love in Ephesians, he says, like, God bless us in Christ with the heavenly places. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us in him with all spiritual blessings in Christ. So because we are in Christ, we are so blessed, we are redeemed, we are forgiven, we are sons and daughters of the King. We are, for real, you're favored by God. I know that sometimes you get up in the morning, you're like, I don't really feel favored today, but you are. You're favored by God because he did all that, by the way, sending the Savior and appointing people. He did all that because he was thinking about you and I. He thought about you and I. So like our needs to get close to, we've been running away from God, and God himself came near us and gave us the Savior by whom you and I can be saved. And he utilized a woman, Mary, and Joseph, you know, to raise Jesus. You see, that baby became a man and made his dwelling among us. And, you know, Jesus wasn't the Savior when he was a baby. You know, sometimes you got this nonsense, people praying to baby Jesus. I don't know where they get that for real. I mean, maybe in a movie like, you know, Will Ferrell, Dear Baby Jesus. I mean, baby Jesus cannot do anything for you. In fact, baby Jesus had to protect him from a king who was mad because the king knew that he was Joseph and Mary, as responsible parents, had to hide the baby and run away, move. That baby became a man. You know, he was 30. He was baptized. By whom? John, Elizabeth's son. Remember that one that in the sixth month of his... He baptized Jesus. And you know, John was like, why are you coming to me? I should come to you. Jesus said, we had to fulfill all righteousness. This is the right thing to do, John. John had told people, I baptize you with water. But after me, somebody else greater than me is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. 30 years of age, Jesus is baptized. And he started his ministry. And what was Jesus' first sermon? The same sermon of John the Baptist, Matthew 4:17. He started saying, repent, change. The kingdom of God is near. Ooh, 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 ooh. Kingdom of God. Isn't that what the angel told Gabriel? Said, his kingdom will never end. Now the one that's going to be king began telling people, the kingdom is already here. Do you want to be part of the kingdom? I came so that you and I can be part of that kingdom. So you be subjects of the kingdom. And one day you also be reigning with him in his glory. My friends, I don't know about you, but when I read that, I truly feel favored by God. That's where you are today. Would you pray with me?